In my third year as a minister, I was serving a small church over in Independence that had a large endowment. This endowment allowed this small church to have me as a full-time pastor. We had a music minister who was about three-quarter time, and we had a half-time youth minister. The music minister was one of my best friends, still is to this day, and we worked together really well, often because we thought along the same lines. We kind of had the same screwy logic floating around in our heads. The very first meeting we had together was a worship committee meeting where they were talking about the fact that passing the offering plates didn't take as long as the special music that the pianist had chosen to play during the offertory. And they were discussing about what to do with that. Should we ask the pianist to play a shorter piece? Or what could we do? And without hesitation, Andrew and I both answered at the same time, pass the plate again. They did not take our suggestion. We were voted down. But that third year was the first time we had a full Easter season to work on together. So Andrew and I had gotten together and we had planned out this massive Easter service. He was getting his master's degree in choral conduction at the UMKC Conservatory, so he knew musicians. So he hired five brass players to come on Easter morning. We had two trombones and two trumpets and a French horn, and he went out and hired four of the choral students to come sing with our choir. We had a small choir, about 9 or 10 people, but he paid these four choral students $50 to come sing with us, and then he and I both invited family members we had who were choir singers. So we had about 20 people in our choir, and about half of them were really good, very talented singers, and was able to boost the sound of the choir. So we got together on that Easter morning after we had practiced the service, and it was a morning full of big sound and big music. He had taken each of the hymns that we were going to sing and the three or four choral pieces we were going to do, and he had written accompaniment music so that the brass could play for every song. So when the congregation got up to sing Crown Him with Many Crowns, we didn't just start in with Crown Him with Many. We started bam, 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 bam. And it's like, yeah! Easter morning was loud and raucous and celebratory. And when it was done, Andrew and I stood back exhausted and spent. We looked upon what we had wrought and we saw that it was good. But I will never forget, after the crowd had exited to go to their Easter Day familial responsibilities, after they had walked past us and shook our hands with big smiles, saying, wow, that was a great service, Andrew and I collapsed on the front pew of the church, ready for our post-Easter nap. And Andrew's wife walked up to us with this big smile on her face, full of the energy of that worship we had just had. She looked at both of us and, with no empathy in mind, said, what's next? This week, all week long, on social media, I have seen many of my colleagues and peers who minister with churches post about their post-Easter hangover. Right after all the preparation and the excitement of Easter, they get to this week and they just collapse in exhaustion. Having poured their heart and soul into the Easter preparation requirement, they now take some time off to take a breath, to pause for a moment, to catch up, tuckered out from the extravaganza of Easter. For most of us, though, and if I'm being honest for myself this week, there wasn't really this big post-Easter letdown. We had the Easter service. We left church that day. And I imagine for most of us, post-Easter goes something like this. We go into the week. We put away the plastic eggs and the colorful baskets for another year. And we have leftovers from our Easter dinner, ham sandwiches. We go back to our routine, our everyday. Back to our regularly scheduled programming. Life returns to normal. But should it? Having just experienced the life and death and resurrection of Jesus Christ, condensed into 6 intense weeks of study and worship and prayer, should things go back to normal? The question dropped on my worn-out self those many years ago still resonates. Even as we change the pyramids and lose the lilies, what's next? I've often spoken about my father's love of fishing and my indifference to it. My grandpa Don also fished a little. He had a farm. There were a couple ponds on that farm, and sometimes, I remember when I was little, he would take me, we would walk back to one of the ponds to fish. He'd bring a couple fishing poles and a 5-gallon bucket to sit on, and we'd go down by the pond and fish for bluegill or bass. Rarely did I have the patience or interest, though, to actually do much fishing, much to his chagrin. I would get bored easily. I would wander around and sigh a lot, ask him if we were done yet, and throw rocks in the pond. There's something instinctual about being next to a large body of water and wanting to throw things in it. I would find a rock nearby. I would test it in my hand for its weight and velocity, determine if its shape lent it to being thrown like a baseball or perhaps whipped sideways like a frisbee. And then, kerplunk. Sometimes I would see how far I could throw it. Could I get it across the pond completely? Sometimes how far I might be able to skip it, how many times it might touch the water on its way to the center. None of this, of course, being conducive to catching fish. Quite the opposite, as Grandpa Don would explain rather loudly to me. But each time I would toss the rock in, I would notice the ripple. The rock would hit the water, whether it was once with a splash or whether it was several times as it dotted across. And these small ripples would emanate out from each point where it made contact. The ripples seemed to have a life of their own, spreading out farther and farther, traveling much further than the initial impact. Sometimes, especially if it had skipped, the ripples would touch each other and would expand even farther and go more. Sometimes they would even make it all the way back to the shore where I was standing. We have encountered the risen Christ and his words of life, the sacrifice of salvation, the empty tomb of God's love, the glory and the grace of Easter morning. Having come face to face with our reconciliation, we are changed forever. Our hearts turned inside out, our lives overflowing with hope and peace and love and compassion. And we go out from Easter not to return to a preset path, but to blaze a new trail, one that is concerned with justice and grace and forgiveness. We go forth to offer the wounds of this world the balm of Jesus. But how do we do that? By dropping your pebble in the water. Look at your pebble for a moment. When you came in, everyone got a pebble. I don't know why you picked the one you picked. Maybe you liked the color. Maybe you liked the shape. Maybe you gave it no thought whatsoever. You just grabbed the closest one or the easiest one to reach. But take a look at your pebble for a minute. How small it is. How insignificant. There is absolutely nothing special about this pebble. It came from a big bag at Walmart. Arkansas River Rock is where it was first grabbed. There were hundreds of bags. I simply took the one on top that didn't have a hole in it. That's the amount of time I gave the choice. I took it home, I washed it off, and I brought it here this morning. It is a simple, everyday, normal pebble. It has no value in this world. If I broke down the price of each pebble based on what I paid for the bag, it would probably take 50 of these to make a penny. But if you introduce it to water, no matter how small it is, no matter how big it is, no matter what shape it is in, no matter what color it is, when you introduce it to water, undoubtedly, no matter what, it's going to cause a ripple. And that is what is next. Ecclesiastes 11 that we heard this morning says, "Send out your bread upon the waters, for after many days you will get it back. You do not know the work of God who makes everything. In the morning sow your seed, and at evening do not let your hands be idle, for you don't know which will prosper, this or that, and whether both alike will be good." We go forth from Easter morning to drop our pebble in the water, not sure where the ripples will go, not sure how far they will reach, not sure what they might cause, but that's okay, because God knows. God takes the ripple and uses it to spread God's love, God's kingdom to the world. These small, insignificant things that we do, a kind word, a smile, a reassuring hand, being there with someone who is worried, encouraging someone who is down, praying for someone who is hurting, these small things are like pebbles dropped in the water. We think we see the full extent of them as they splash in, but we don't see where the ripples go from there. We don't see the full reach of that small pebble. Each one we drop stirs the water, challenges the heart, feeds the spirit. Each pebble sends out ripples far and wide. Sometimes they reach far out and then dissipate. Sometimes they touch other ripples caused by other small pebbles, and they keep going and going. And sometimes they even reach back to the shore where we're standing. Our second scripture lesson today talked about that. It said the things that you do, those good things, things like forgiveness and love, whatever you give out is what you're going to give back. If you're stingy giving them out, they're going to be stingy coming back. But if you're big and gracious and you're just throwing pebbles every chance you get, those ripples are going to reach back to the shore where you are standing. Our acts of love performed in the service of our salvation, in the light of God's glory, in the presence of the risen Christ, done simply because we were there at the empty tomb. We were there in the upper room. We were there on the road. Done simply because we have seen Jesus. We have heard Jesus. We have touched his hands and his side. These acts of love resonate out into the world in 1,000 directions. Ripples sent out by our small, simple acts change lives, heal spirits, and further God's kingdom. A friend of mine who's a minister this week posted that she had done a funeral for a family that weren't members of her church. The funeral home had simply asked her if she would help, and she didn't know them. And she talked about how she had to think about it, whether or not she would do that, because it's a lot more difficult. It's a lot more stressful to work with a family that you don't know at all, to try to eulogize someone whom you've never met. And she said she kind of debated, should I do this? I mean, it's post-Easter. I'm exhausted from Easter. What, you know, should I do this? But she decided to do it, and she remarked on how blessed she had been by being with this family at that time. And I responded to her comment, and I told her, I said, you know, I do 30 funerals a year for families I don't know. I do 30 weddings a year for families I don't know. And it is difficult. It is harder. I did 3 weddings this weekend, and each one of them was their own bag of tricks. At the first one, there were 3 flower girls that were 30 minutes late for the wedding. Apparently, they were somebody's niece, because we weren't starting until they got there. The last funeral I did yesterday, I walked in. Looked at the groom and I said, "Can I have the marriage license?" And he said, "Oh." I said, "All righty." They are more difficult. They are. But I see each one as an opportunity to drop a small pebble in the water and see where those ripples might go. A couple of years ago, I got called to do a funeral for a gentleman, a grandfather, who had passed away. And his family didn't go to church. They didn't have a minister, so the funeral directors called me. I went and met with the family. I listened to their stories about this man, and I helped them at the service to celebrate his life and grieve his passing. About a year later, I got another call from the funeral home. This time, the gentleman's wife had passed away, and his family had specifically asked for me. They said, "Gosh, Grandma always felt that Mark did such a great job with Grandpa's service. We think she would want him to do her service as well." So they called me. I went down and met this family again. I sat with them, and I listened to their stories. I helped them to put together a service to remember her and celebrate her life. About a year after that, my phone rang again. This time it was the granddaughter. She was about 27, and she called me, and she said, "I'm getting married next year." She goes, "I don't know any ministers but you." She said, "Do you do weddings?" I said, "Once in a while, sure." And I went and met with her and her fiance, and we sat for a couple hours and talked about what they were wanting, because she didn't just want somebody to come in and say generic words. She wanted me to incorporate their story into it. So we sat, and once again, just 3 weeks ago, on April 1st, I got to gather with this family one more time, this family that I keep crossing paths with. And this time we got to celebrate this new beginning in their life, this day when their granddaughter decided to say I do, and her fiance said I do, and they started their life as husband and wife. You don't know what ripples your pebble will cause, and that's okay. We don't need to know. God knows. God simply needs you to drop the pebble in the water. What will you do today to drop your pebble? What opportunity will you have to touch someone's life in a seemingly simple way with kindness or mercy or hope or love? And what ripples might that send out into the world? I want you to take that pebble that you picked up today. I want you to take it home. And I'd like you to place it somewhere that you're going to look at it. Maybe in the console of your car. I've got that little cup in my car that nothing ever goes in, nothing ever fits in. I don't know why they put it in there. Put it in there, something that I look at every day. Put it on your kitchen table or set it on your bathroom sink. That every morning as you get up, you're going to see that pebble. You're going to think to yourself, "Lord, where is it today that I get to drop a pebble into the water? Where is it today that my words or my actions might send out ripples of your kingdom into this world?" Take your pebble with you. Each day ask, "Lord, where shall I drop this pebble today?" Amen.